Thank you, Tim. Good evening to each and every one of you. On Sunday, we'll continue with where Jason left off on the idea of wisdom. We're going to cover a little bit more on that topic, and so you can be thinking more about that. Tonight, we're going to look at a time slice a little bit, the biblical time slice, and that would start with a division of the Bible and how it's put together. There's the Old Testament and the New Testament, two divisions. And so, as far as the time goes for his, as far as God is concerned, it's broken up in those two areas, and then Scripture and time go around all that. Within the Old Testament, just some major things I was thinking about again today. Number one, we could have the creation as things that would be important to consider. Number two, I had the flood. And then the third thing I had, the land of Egypt, again, that's kind of in the news a lot, and again, the Red Sea, and the departing of that, of them from that land. Another thing I thought was important was the law, as number four. Number five would be the land to the people of Israel. And again, there's much fighting going on over land and other things. The next thing that I would also would put down as a sort of a division or major thought would be kings. The other nations wanted to have kings, and so Israel decided they wanted to do that too and be part of that program. Again, you know, God gave them that, but yet he was their king truly and still is looking forward to being that king. After that, prophets, there's major and minor prophets. And then the Babylonian captivity would be number eight. And so we're thinking about major time slots or periods of the Old Testament. Those are, would be maybe the major ones, and then other things out of Scripture could fall around that. So again, creation would be one. The flood would be two. Egypt would be number three. The law would be number four. The land would be number five. Kings would be number six, the prophets, major and minor, number seven, and then the Babylonian captivity. And so that would be one part, and it's quite a long part and a lengthy part. But then there's the New Testament, and I would just have two divisions for that, time-wise. And the first one would be what? For the New Testament, would you think? Huh? The Gospels, and that would include what? Both occurred. The Lord Jesus Christ is being pretty important. He came into the scene at that time. And then after that, we have the epistles and letters and stuff. And so now we have for us right now, what's going on for right now, and then also the future that happened that will be coming. And so I've divided up in those kind of areas to think about some of the things that we'll look at tonight. Can anybody quote the memory verse of Psalm 66:4? That was the memory verse that we had in July. In God? Okay. I will put my trust in God. Okay, that's the last part. I will not fear what man will, what flesh can do unto me. And there's also another verse about what being a fear. There's just these verses. Repeated twice. The second one is, in God I have put my trust. And so again, thinking about the New Testament and the Old Testament, in God, David says, I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And so that's the future and the past and the present, all in a nice one little verse there, that verse, Psalm 56:4. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 66. Psalm 66. Psalm 66. And as you look at this again, you'll perhaps realize that this was read just recently, if you were at the worship service this past Sunday. And so we're not going to read this portion again, but we're going to refer to just a couple of the verses in here. So Psalm 66 and verse 13. I will go into my house with burnt offerings I will pay thee with my vows. And so talking about the tabernacle and doing something that's a physical thing, he's going to take and pay his vows by having burnt offerings. Further in verse 15, I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. And so again here he's paying. He's offering the sacrifices, the burnt offering. And so that's referring back to things that were in the Old Testament set up a long time ago and something that they were supposed to do. And so this was a physical thing, a physical sacrifice that took place that he's referring to here. This psalm is this one of David's psalms. No, it doesn't seem to be, because the one before there, 65, it says to the chief, and then it says a psalm and a song of David, where this is to the chief and a song or psalm. 68 says to the chief, a psalm or a song of David. And so some of these are not David's, but maybe it might sound like he might have wrote this as well, too. He wrote many things. But let's go back to verse 4. Verse 4 of this 66. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. So what's this kind of referring to here? On the one part especially. The Red Sea, Exodus, which would be the third thing on the list. So in the time slot on my list there would be the number third thing with regards to Egypt and the Red Sea. And that would be verse 6 of 66. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There we did rejoice in him. And so they have that to take and consider, that tremendous thing that happened at that point. Since this wasn't a psalm of David, it doesn't appear to be, would you think that David would know about the Red Sea and what had happened? Why? Yeah, okay. And so maybe it wasn't written yet, but I'm sure even if it wasn't written, where I think he could read that, certainly that was passed down from generation to generation to generation. Let's turn over to the book of Acts and chapter 7, if you would. Acts chapter 7, and here we have an account of Stephen addressing the Sanhedrin in chapter 7, verse 1. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. And so then he goes through and gives you an excellent account. And it's really a tremendous summary of all that had taken place. Let's drop down just to one other verse in here, verse 36 of chapter 7. It says, he continues on by saying, he brought them out, referring to God, after he showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. And so my thought was, again, probably some of this was written down where you could refer to it. But then again, with the people, they were supposed from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next, pass this information on verbally. And so this probably was written down maybe for Stephen. He could look at some of this. But I think he had it memorized as many of them did. So I think David, either he had a chance to read that or memorize what had taken place. And so, again, even though that one Psalm of 66 may not be his, again, he was familiar with that. One other thing, I was thinking about the fact of why he would think about what had happened before, is what happened with the ark and David. David wanted to take and bring it back, so he thought that the ark was pretty important. So that refers way back to the tabernacle stuff too. So intentions were great, but again, the method was the wrong way of doing something, and so the consequences of people, you can read that in Samuel or Chronicles back there. And so I'm thinking David knew about the Red Sea crossing and the blessing that God was to the people of Israel in all those times, and the ark, it was special to them too. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. This is another portion that was read or referred to in the worship service last Sunday. Hebrews chapter 10, a couple verses from here again that have been read several times. But again, it goes along with a thought from Psalm 66. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. It said, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make those who come to it perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, once purged, should have no more consciousness of sins." And notice the fact that once purged, have no more consciousness of sins, and that the mind is affected. And so sometimes people might say, you know, I don't feel anything about sin, it doesn't bother me, I don't have any conscience towards it anymore. And so unfortunately, people have what I think have lost their conscience in some degrees. But he doesn't hold them guiltless on their conscience. And so, once purged, should have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again, made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." Remember, we read in Psalm 66 where about they were going to pay and they were going to offer sacrifices, a physical thing that they could do. And here we find in Hebrews that that's not any good. It says in burnt offerings in verse 6, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure." And why not? Because it wasn't that effective. "Then said I in verse 7, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure in them which are offered by the law." And so there was that problem. And so they tried to do that according to what he had said. And again, they couldn't complete that. But we're thankful for in verse 12. It says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." And so as we worship the Lord Sunday, again thinking about what was done in the physical part, that wasn't sufficient, but the spiritual part was, and it was completely acceptable to the Lord, to God the Father, of the work that was done. Thinking about that, let's go back to Psalms chapter 40 for one more portion of scripture this evening. From here, Psalm chapter 40. So we had Psalm 66, which doesn't appear to be one of David's. Other ones were David's. Here it says above there, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. And Psalm chapter 40, we'll break in at verse 6. Sacrifice and offering, thou didst not desire my ears, hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. And I said, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And so here, this is the quote that was used, but then David was realizing what was true already, that this wasn't going to be sufficient enough, and that was one that was going to come that would fill everything completely. He didn't know who that would be or when it was going to happen, but because of that, he could say, and this is what I'm thinking, that we could also join in with him as these other verses ahead of that that I'll read beginning in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Remember, he wrote the other things of Psalms 56:4 about trusting in his word and trusting in God. Continues verse 4. Blessed is that man who maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are toward us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And then these other verses. So again, to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, we had the song, and we have the scripture to say that the law was great, and if they did everything, it was sufficient until Christ came. But then Christ's sacrifice was a total package that was completed by God and accepted by God, and not the burnt offerings and burnt sacrifices. And so many of us, if you haven't realized of our position, that are in a horrible pit, and as long as the Lord can take us out of that pit, whatever that might be, if we accept his salvation and be thankful for what he's done for us again tonight, even as we have considered it as our worship times to thinking about his all that he's done for us. Some thoughts tonight here, then we'll have our prayer time at this time. Thank you.